Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Well, folks, it's good to see you tonight. Thank you for coming. I want to read from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, and the chapter 5, please. John's Gospel, chapter 5. We'll commence our reading at the very first verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Amen. And the Lord will bless to all of our hearts the public reading of his word for Jesus' sake. We bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence this night in the matchless and marvelous name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We praise thee too, Lord, for the opportunity to meet in this manner and present to men and women the glorious message of God's sovereign saving grace. We pray that you'd help us tonight, close us in with God in this house, and grant, Lord, to the preacher power and strength and clarity to witness for the Savior, to preach to men and women the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. Bless those who've gathered to hear and those who will hear in future days. We thank thee that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. So we pray that you'd come upon us. Lord, grant us strength and grace and help. And oh, may the gospel of Christ Jesus be preached faithfully from this house. And be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ever since I was converted to Christ as a young man of 18, way back in 1966, 71 coming to save you the trouble of counting it up, and started to read the Bible. I came to this passage of Scripture in John 5, and it really impressed itself upon me, because in a little measure, I had sympathy with the man who was lying paralyzed at the pool of Bethesda. When I was a child, a very young child, I contracted the polio virus, and that necessitated surgery later on before my teenage years, and also about 18 months spent in a bed, not able to walk, not able to get out or do very much. But I remember very clearly in my mind the first time that the nurses in the hospital attempted to get me up on my feet to walk. And they did that, I just fell. Once they let me go, I just fell on the floor. I had no strength in my legs because they hadn't been used for so long. I just couldn't do it. And then I read about a man in Scripture who for nearly 40 years never walked. And yet an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and a word from him, and that man was not only able to get up and walk, he was able to carry the little bed that he lay on all that time and take it away with him. And I thought to myself, what power and grace and strength there is in Christ that he could do such a thing to someone who was in such a need. And very simply tonight, for our few moments together, I want to say some things to you about this man. My visit to Israel, my first visit, when I went to the ruins of the Pool of Bethesda, my mind went back to that occasion. And I thought it was just a wonderful thing that such a miracle, one of many, of course, that Christ performed in his earthly ministry. But thinking about this man very simply, I want us to consider, first of all, simply where he was. We're told in verse 2 of chapter 5 in John, now there is at Jerusalem, the holy city, the center of religion, even way back then, and right up to this very day. So this was a city saturated in religion. And then we're told further in the verse, in Jerusalem, by the sheep market. That was a very interesting place to be. This man could view and would see the sheep and the lambs as they're brought into the place of sacrifice. The whole idea of atonement and blood shedding would have been very clear to him as he lay there. It also tells us in the verse that it's called Bethesda, a word that means the house of mercy. What a wonderful place to be. Jerusalem, to this very day, is well worth a visit. But the thing I was thinking about was this. It was a place just full of religion, but it hadn't Christ. You see, folks, you can have religion. You can be very religious, and I know people who are. And they go through all the practices and rituals and rites of their religious belief, but they're not saved because they've no Christ. And if you haven't Christ in your heart, you're not a Christian at all in the biblical sense. Tells us further in the chapter here that at this time there was a feast of the Jews. This feast of the Jews was known as a feast of the Lord. But Judaism had so apostatized and had gone away from God that no longer had that same spiritual significance. It was a Jewish feast, not the Lord's feast. But you know, folks, listen. You can have religion, but if you haven't Christ at the center of it, in the middle of it, all around it, you have nothing. It's not religion that saves. Neither is there salvation in any other, says the Bible. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you want to be saved, if you're never going to be saved, you have to be saved by him. Christ alone can save. They called him Jesus, for he had come to save his people from their sins. Now you can have an outward love for your religious belief. I know people that are absolutely devoted to their church. They just love it, and they love everything about it. And that, in a sense, is no bad thing. But if that church is not a Christ-preaching church, it's valueless. It's worth absolutely nothing. You need Christ, beloved. That man at the pool that day was about to discover the reality of that. That there was a Savior who could make him well, who could do something for him that no one else could do. The day he met the Master changed and transformed his life. And so it was with this preacher tonight. As a young man of 18, a young man who had a foul tongue, who was well astray in his whole life. Yet that day, it was the 5th of November in 1966, I remember it well. It was almost 12 o'clock noon on a Saturday morning in a little flat off York Street in the city of Belfast, when suddenly the Lord revealed to me, you're crippled. You're spiritually bankrupt and spiritually dead. You need the Savior. Down on my knees I went, repented of my sin, turned from it, sought to forsake it, and simply said, Lord Jesus, I don't know much of what the Bible teaches, but I know I'm a sinner, and I want to come to Christ just now. And then it happened. What we call the new birth. I was born of the Spirit of God in that moment with life from above. I knelt a sinner and rose up again a saint of God, justified freely by his grace. Beloved, it's over 50 years ago. And I rejoice every day that God was merciful to such a wretch as I was. And I came, nothing in my hand to bring, simply to the cross I cling. This man, this impotent man, this paralyzed man that had lain there for so long, waiting for a miracle. That wonderful day in his life, he found that miracle, for he found the Savior. Where he was in the midst of great religious activity. Many a man in Ulster and all over the nation and all over the earth tonight in the same situation. Religion just guides their lives. They're involved in it, but they haven't the Savior. That's where he was. But what state was he in? Well, we're told in verse 3 of the chapter 5 in John, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. He was a helpless man. He could do nothing to heal himself. Impotent literally means without strength. And there's a lovely text in the New Testament that says, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, beloved, listen. If you're not saved tonight, you are helpless. And you're hopeless. You're out of Christ. without a Savior. Someone always beat him down to this water, for he had no one to help him. He missed it every time. But when the Savior appeared on the scene, he didn't miss it then. There's a wonderful illustration in this whole story, you know, concerning the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. There was a great multitude of people. Some were blind, withered, lame, all helpless. But Christ went to one individual. How many times we've been in meetings and gospel appeals were made, people responded. I remember one such meeting in one of our churches. We made the appeal and a few people indicated their willingness to come. And they stayed behind and they professed faith. And I noticed one young woman coming up the aisle and going into the pastor's room with the pastor and his wife. And I thought to myself, there's another soul coming to Christ. And my heart was thrilled. But before I got out of the pulpit that night, that door opened into that study. And this young woman went out very fast. She ran, really ran, down the building and out through the door and into the night. And I don't believe that she was ever back. You see, she didn't take the offer that night. The Lord was in that meeting. Others did respond. Others came. Others were saved. But she said no. But this man, chosen out of this vast multitude, Christ could have healed every one of them with a word. But in sovereign grace, and beloved, that's what it is, you know. In sovereign grace, he comes to this man. He sees his need. He says, do you want to be made whole? Very often, you know, the Lord stopped with people and spoke to them. You're familiar with the story of Zacchaeus, of course. Up in that tree, can you just imagine him as the Savior was going through Jericho? When he got to the tree, he stopped and he looked up. I'm sure Zacchaeus thought within himself, he sees me. And then the Lord Jesus says, Zacchaeus, he knows me. Come down. He wants me. And that's what it's all about, beloved, tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ sees you as a sinner, wants you, knows you, knows every thought you think, everything that's in your mind, he knows. The Bible tells us in the Gospels, time and again, Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew their thoughts. He knew what they were considering, even though they said nothing. What a Savior, coming to this helpless man. A man that in many ways, you know, was a harmless soul. He harmed no one because he was in contact with no one else really, except those that were with him and round about him. What a hapless case. What a picture of lostness. Terrible thing to be lost. A few years ago, I was in a big shopping complex with another minister, a friend, a close friend. But he disappeared. I had no idea where he was at. But in this crowded mall, I was looking all over the place for him, because he's a small man, and I couldn't see him. But I heard this voice behind me. And he shouted over to me, this voice, are you lost? And I turned round to see a preacher, a brethren preacher, actually. And when I caught his eye and he looked at me again, he said, "Brother, once you were lost, but now you're found." You know, I wasn't embarrassed. As far as I remember, I shouted, "Praise the Lord," over to him again. For it was true. I was lost. But thank God he found me, beloved. He can find you tonight, wherever you might be. Whether you're in church, home, some civic center, wherever it is, the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. What a Savior. What a Savior. Where he was, what state he was in, what he did. Well, we know there from the text that he was waiting. He was waiting, verse 3 tells us, for the moving of the water. There was no efficacy or power or merit in the water. When Naaman went to the prophet and was told to dip 7 times in the Jordan, it wasn't anything efficacious in the waters of Jordan. It was obedience to the word of God. That's what saves the soul. When Jesus says, "Come unto me," you've got to do that in order to be saved. When he said to this man, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," that's exactly what he had to do. He had to rise, take God at his word, and step forward in faith. Jesus asked him a question that you might find strange tonight. "Wilt thou be made whole?" His whole purpose in being at that place for 38 years was he wanted to be made whole. But he didn't say yes. He didn't indicate that he was right now ready to be made whole. Oh, sinners have told us time and again, "I would love to be saved, but not now. Not tonight. Some more convenient season. I'll call on you." But they never do. They never do. You see, folks, there's no tomorrow with God. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. "Wilt thou be made whole?" I ask you the same question tonight if you're not saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ to save your soul, to cleanse you from sin, I ask you the question, will you be made whole? For thank God you can be if you obey. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Would you not come? One of the great joys of life is to see someone come to Christ. I remember with great fondness the first person I ever led to the Lord. It took place in the center of Belfast, just after an open air, I think it was. I was only a young man of 18 or 19, just saved a while. Got into conversation with this dear man, a Roman Catholic man. We were standing in the doorway, quite close to the city hall, in the center of the city of Belfast. And we talked to him and sought to show him how to be saved. And that particular night, and it started to rain, you know, and we had some shelter, but he said, "I would love to be saved now." And we said, "Well, sir, you can be." And had the great joy of leading him to Christ. I remember that so clearly. And that's 50 years ago. I don't remember exactly the circumstances of the next person that was saved through us in the ministry and the work, but I remember that one. And what a joy it was. Oh, there's nothing like seeing a sinner come to Christ. "Friend, I would exhort you. Yea, verily, I would plead with you. Lay down the arms of rebellion and flee to the Savior. Respond to his word as this man did." This man that was able to stand up immediately in his full strength back, a thing that I could never do as a child when I was recovering from my illness. But the Lord, you see, gives the power. The gospel, we're told, is the power of God. And so this man, in verses 8 and 9, he started to walk. And in verse 15, near the end of the passage we read, let me just say what, tell you what it says. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. You know, when the Lord really saves you, when he really cleanses your heart, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's what you begin to do. You begin to be a witness for him. Your life will start to tell for him. Oh, but you need to come. Come while the Savior in mercy is calling. Steer for the harbor light. Friend, how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. It is our prayer this evening that if any are not saved, that you will come this evening hour and put your trust, your faith, your dependence, your hope in the blessed and risen Son of God. May God be pleased to help you to do that for his name's sake. Let's pray. Eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the story of this crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. How, at the very word of the Savior, he was restored to full health and strength, became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh God, bless all tonight who have heard the message and who will hear it in future days. And may it be their joy, like this man at the pool, to come to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Oh God, our Father, save the sinner tonight. Break down the rebellious arms and grant that some will come to him, to know him as life eternal. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.